Certainly there's not a friend like the Lord. He is the friend, the Bible says, sticketh closer than a brother. He is there for us in every aspect of life, and I'm glad I can call Him my Lord. I'm glad I can call Him my friend and my Savior. Tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter of these first five books that are given to us in the Scriptures. And it gives us the story of the ending of a life that was a great life for the Lord, and the life of Moses and how that he faced his death. It's an amazing thing how God can use an individual as much as He used Moses. And we'll read and see a little bit about him tonight and see how that he was traveling that last mile that God was giving him and was going to go home to glory. Chapter 34 of the book of Deuteronomy. Let's just read the half 12 verses. Let's just read all of them. Then we'll come back and break the chapter down a little bit. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, and the days of the weeping and the mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Here we have the last message concerning one of the great characters of the Old Testament, really one of the great characters of all of history. You have the man by the name of Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and you can divide his life into three different sections of 40-year periods. His first 40 years was spent there in the palace. He had everything that was to be offered to the son of Pharaoh's daughter, literally became very powerful, very strong there. And those first 40 years was probably, as far as his life was concerned, was probably very easy because he was in that particular house and had all that the devil had to offer. He had everything that was there available to him. But we find in the book of Hebrews that he'd rather suffer the affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin just for a little while or for a season. And so Moses, in those first 40 years, we know the story how that his sister got Moses' mother to care for him and literally to raise him. And so those first 40 years was raised there in the house of Pharaoh, but he was raised by his own mother. He had all the things that Pharaoh had to offer, had all the things that Egypt had to offer, but he also had some things that God had to offer and was given to him by his godly mother. Then his second 40-year period of time is on the backside of the desert. You know the story, we've had it many times, how that Moses had to flee Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee, and he was gone there for 40 years on the backside of the desert. He was just sort of out of circulation, but he was there for a purpose and for a reason. And God was training him and getting him ready for the last 40-year period of his life. And of course, that last 40-year period of time was found there as he leads the people of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness those 40 years. And so Moses was a great character of the Old Testament. Moses had a magnificent life. Moses is given to us through the Scripture as one of the great characters of the Word of God. But he had a flaw, and of course we know that he was a man just like everybody else. He was a human, and he disobeyed the Lord, and God did not permit him to go into the Promised Land. We'll see that in just a little bit. But in these first verses here tonight, the Lord is revealing to him all the things that he has looked forward to. And I don't know how God did this, but God showed him the whole land. God can do all things. And so the Bible says here that he went up there from the plain of Moab to the top of Mount Pisgah. And God showed him all the land, as we read there. And the Bible tells us here that to the very great sea and all the lands that God had promised unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, God permitted Moses to see this. He saw a preview of the promised land. And I believe he went up to the place of death unafraid, knowing that it was in God's care and God's will and God's way, realizing that he had disobeyed God. When God told him to speak to the rock and water would come forth, Moses, out of the disgust of his heart and the antagonistic crowd that he had to deal with and those murmuring Israelites that were always murmuring against him and Aaron, and of course instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock that second time. And God had told him to just speak to it. And Moses faltered and failed there. And he did not do as God told him. But we find here that this man, God just sort of pulled off the curtain. And the Bible says here he showed him all the land. He says in verse number 4, he says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. However God did that, God showed to Moses all the things that was before them. You see, Moses had been leading them for so many years, and now he gets to see the promised land. And he probably had a better view of it than anybody else. He got the vision from the Lord. He probably had a better view than all the others, because they went to their own respective places, and the different tribes had their own lands given to them, and they went out to conquer the land of Canaan, and it took some years to do that, but Moses got to see the whole thing. He saw it from those different places and different angles of what God had shown him. And God says in verse 4, this is the land which I swear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, I'll give it unto thy seed. And God said, I have caused thine eye to see it. And so tonight we find God reveals to him in this revelation, he reveals to him what he's never going to experience. He's never going to walk on the land. He's never going to go across the Jordan. He's never going to possess the land. But God did let him see that. It was a land that he had desired to be at. It was a land where he wanted to go. Moses saw that land after wandering 40 years in the wilderness and having all the struggles that were there. And a land that the Bible says flowed with milk and honey. And that just simply meant it was very fruitful. It was a land that would produce. It was a land that was one that was able to provide for the families and for the tribes as they were now going their separate ways and were going to form into a great nation that we call Israel. And he got to see a land that was a land of victory. For God gave them the victory. God gave them that land as he had promised. So Moses gets to see a bird's eye view of all this. He has the revelation of the Lord. Moses is given this view, and I think he was rejoicing in what he saw. And he is walking now that last mile of his life, and he is facing death, and he is rejoicing that God has given him this opportunity. But with the opportunity of the revelation, I believe also came some regret. The Bible says there in verse number 4, the Lord says, but thou shalt not go over. I'm sure that brought a regret to Moses in his heart and in his life. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swear I give it to thy seed, and I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. There's regret, I believe, in Moses' heart. And really, when you think about it, he missed the only thing that he had worked for and desired for 40 years. God had placed Moses in the position of leader of Israel. He was the unquestioned leader. He was the man that got direction especially from God. God spoke directly to Moses, whether it be in a burning bush or whether it be to his heart, whether it be in an audible voice. God spoke directly to Moses, and Moses had had that connection with God all these 40 years. And now God tells him from face to face. The Scripture says here that the Lord knew him face to face. What a wonderful testimony that it is for God to say, I know him face to face. That just simply meant God said, I know Moses, and he knows me. And now God is speaking to him face to face. He said, but you're not going over. You're not going to the promised land. I'll let you look at it. I'll let you see it. I'll let you rejoice and bask in what's going to take place. But Moses, you're not going there. And of course, we know the reason was because of his sin. He missed the only thing that he looked forward to. He had worked diligently and hard, and he regrets. Well, Moses had other regrets, I'm sure, in his life. I'm sure he regretted the death of that Egyptian man. I'm sure he regretted that immensely in his life, as that put him in a position that he had to run from Pharaoh and the armies and the people of Egypt. He had to go to another portion of land and be hid out and stay there 40 years as God was training him. I'm sure Moses had a lot of regrets, but I doubt any of them was as great as this one. This is like we would think in our heart of working for something all of our life and then not getting it. It'd be like for us to be doing all that we can do and struggling in order to obtain a certain thing and then just barely missing it. Being able to see it but not be able to touch it or to have it. And so God gives him the revelation, and I'm sure that brought joy. But God tells him the words, but thou shalt not go over. And you're not going to go over there. And I'm sure that as the joy was flooding his heart and as the joy was great in him, now regret falls upon him as he remembers the smitten rock. As he remembers when God said, speak to the rock, and Moses disobeyed. You know, some of the saddest words that we might think in our life is that it might have been different. Moses would have been able to go over. Moses would have gone to the promised land if he had not sinned against the Lord. If he had not rebelled against the spoken word of Moses. We've been studying some of these things in our Bible class. Moses got, as I said a moment ago, Moses got his words directly from God. Now he's going to be followed by a great leader, Joshua. But Joshua didn't have the same privilege as Moses did. Joshua didn't get his words from the Lord. Joshua got his words from the priest that got them from God. And so it comes through a pattern. And so we find that Moses had a direct access, a direct connection with his Maker. And now Moses maybe is thinking, oh, it could have been different. It might have been different. It would have been different if I just had listened to the Lord. How many times that's our regret? How many times that's our problem? How many times that comes to our life? If I'd have just done what God said, if I'd have just followed the direction of the Lord, it might have been different or it would have been different. So I'm sure Moses, in the joy of the revelation that God gave him, all of a sudden he's overshadowed with the regret of missing the mark. He's overshadowed with missing the promised land. Now, the promised land is not heaven. It does not picture heaven. The promised land pictures a life of a child of God battling and fighting and struggling just to serve the Lord. I know we sing our songs in our songbooks that talk about promised land being heaven, but the Bible doesn't give us the promised land as being heaven. The promised land is a place where we can have victory or we can have failure. We can have our victory in Jericho or we can have our failures in Ai. We can have our victory in certain things of our life, in certain portions of our life, or we can have our defeats in other areas of our life. That's the land that we're in. And as we travel our pathways, we travel through this world, headed toward heaven, there are revelations that God gives us. There are joys that the Lord permits us to have, but there are also those regrets that we say it could have been different. And so Moses now is in a in the last portion, last times of his life. He is going to have a different death than anybody else has ever had. And he's looking and seeing and rejoicing and regretting all at the same time. God is saying, here's the land, Moses. That's the land I gave to Abraham. Moses was well equipped to understand who Abraham was. Moses understood who Isaac was. Moses understood who Jacob was. These are the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. These are the founders of the nation. God said, this is the land I promised them. And Moses, I've let your eye behold it. But you're not going over. You're not going to touch it. You're not going to have your foot upon that land. And so if we make that heaven, then Moses didn't make it. And I believe we're going to meet Moses in heaven. And so we find here that this promised land that God gave him is a place of struggles. It's a place of problems. It's a place of battles. It's a place of victories. It's a place of defeats. And Moses sees it. And by the way, this was the perfect will of God for the people of Israel. This was the land. There was no other land that would ever fit the purpose of Israel other than the promised land. You know what? This has been a long time, some almost 4,000, 5,000 years since this has taken place. And you know what? That's still the only land that will fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham. That's the only land that God gave to them. And Israel is just a little speck on the map right now. But that's not what God showed him. That's not what God showed Moses. God showed him the whole spectrum. He showed him the whole land before them. And one day Israel will have all of that as their land because that's their promised land. And God, we have studied so many times, God makes a promise, He's able to do it. When God gives us a promise in His Word, then He's able to perform that. We noticed that this past week in one of the messages. And so Moses, the great man that he was, and certainly not taking anything away from his greatness, now he stands in regret that he's not going over and fight the battle like the rest of them are going to. You see, the reckoning hand of God was upon him. Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. It's interesting if you study the land of Moab. It's interesting if you study that particular phrase or that particular place in the Bible. And usually when someone goes to Moab, they die. I mean, it's a place of death. When Abimelech and Naomi went to Moab, guess what happened? Abimelech died, and the two sons died. That's a place of death. And so here the Bible says that Moses, the servant of the Lord, I'm glad God put that in there. God's not diminishing what Moses was. He was the servant of the Lord. He did what God told him to do, and he was faithful to the Lord. And even in his death here, God calls him his servant. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Here we find that God took care of Moses' funeral. God took care of all the details, took care of everything that was there. The Lord had taken him up to and shown him, and now he's in the valley. He's not on the mountaintop now, he's in the valley. And God places him there in that land. And the Bible says, no man knows his sepulcher of this day. Now we know who wrote the first five books of the Bible. I don't know who wrote the last chapter of Deuteronomy. I don't believe Moses wrote this because of the wording of it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there and God buried him. And so if Moses wrote that, he wrote it differently. Most people think maybe Joshua wrote this last message concerning Moses. It doesn't really matter. It's in our Word. It's in our Scripture. And so we find here that God took care of his funeral. He was under the reckoning hand of God. Moses died according to the word of the Lord. That's a statement within itself. Moses died according to the word of the Lord. Moses died just exactly when God said it was time to go. You know what? That's the way we're going to die. We're all going to leave this world. It doesn't matter how young, how old, how in between we might be. We're leaving this. We are not made to stay on this earth. Not without a change. Not without a transition that takes place in our life. But as we are right now, we cannot stay up on this earth. We're going to die. And as a child of God, as a servant of the Lord, I believe we'll die according to the word of the Lord. I believe we'll die when God, I believe God will take us when He's ready to take us. And you know what? I don't believe there's anything that anybody can do about that. I believe God knows the time, the place, the hour. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to live the way I want to. Well, God don't want you foolish. God, if you're that way, God knows you're foolish, and He's going to take care of that too. But we find that according to the word of the Lord, Moses died. As he has been speaking to the Lord all these many, many years, and God has given him detail after detail, God says, now it's time for you to leave. It's time for you to go. And God took care of it. And God tells us here that He put him in a sepulcher, and no man knoweth where it is to this day. Somebody says, wonder why God didn't let them know where Moses was buried. Well, we know people well enough, probably because they'd have dug him up and carried him to the land of promise and made a statue out of him or an idol out of him. He said, well, not Israel. Oh, just read a little bit later. You say, oh, yes, they will. I mean, Israel is just as wicked and just as ungodly as any other nation at later on in their lives, in their history. And so God just buried him, and no one knows, and I believe even unto this day. And so we find that he was 120 years old. That last 40-year period is over. His life has ended. Moses, when he died, he didn't have any physical defects. That's tremendous. The Bible says here that his eye was not dimmed. I can't say that. Most of us can't say that. Our eye is dim. We're not as sharp-eyed as maybe we used to be. I take those off. I can't tell if you're smiling or not smiling. And I sure can't read that. So I keep them on. So I can't say my eyes have not dimmed. But Moses, at 120 years old, the Scripture says his eye was just as sharp as it was in the beginning. Not only that, it tells us here, nor his natural force abated. He was just as strong at 120 as he was at 20. Well, we're not as strong at 55 as we are at 20. We're not as strong at 60 or 65 or 70. Now, Brother Jay maybe is a little bit different. He's about as strong as he's ever been. If you'll keep that thumb out of the way of the board. How many stitches? 16 stitches in the thumb, buddy. That's all stitch. And so his natural force, his natural strength was there. And God said, it's time to go home. Well, just think what Moses could have done. Well, maybe that's what Moses was thinking. Look what I've missed. Look what I could have done. And Caleb later on, he says, give me that mountain. He said, I'm 85 years old and I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40 years ago. And so God gave them strength and God gave them ability. And Moses was a great man. His natural force had not abated. He was just as strong when he died as he was when he was living. That's a great thing to be able to be said. Notice verse number 8, though. This is interesting. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Well, for 40 years, they had murmured and complained against him. For 40 years, they said, we're not going to have you rule over us. Let's just get us a captain and we'll go back to Egypt. But now death has come and they're mourning for their leader. Maybe they also realized what they had lost. Maybe they also realized that they had lost a man that loved them and had struggled for them. And Moses even got to the point one time and he said, God, if you're going to kill them, just kill me and save them. And Moses pled with the Lord and said, Lord, if you kill them, out here in the wilderness, the Egyptians will have cause to say you're not able and to say that you couldn't do. And so he was a great intercessory for the people of Israel. He cared for his people. And they murmured against him. And they were some of the most murmuring impossible people that could have ever been. And Moses had to lead those folks. No wonder he hit the rock. No wonder he was disgusted. No wonder he had the problem that he had in that sin. Because they were always murmuring against him. But now, they're remorseful. Now they're sorry. And the Bible says here they wept for him for 30 days and they murmured against him those 40 years, and maybe their conscience now is hurting. But they were mourning the death of their great Moses. You see, Moses is still a very popular name in Israel today. A few years ago, this will date some of us, a few years ago there was a great general in Israel. His name was Moshe Dayan. You know what Moshe is? Moses. That's the word for Moses. And Moses is a very popular name among the Jews even today. Why? Because there was a great man named Moshe, or Moses. And so they've murmured, they've complained, they've said, we're going to kill you, we're going to get us somebody else, and we're going back to where the cucumbers were and where we was having it so good. They wasn't having it good back in Egypt. They were slaves and they were bound down and they were not even able to do the work that was put upon them. But when they got in the wilderness, they said, oh, I wish we'd have stayed where we were. What a murmuring bunch of people. No wonder when they went to spy out the land and you have Joshua and Caleb come back and say, we can take the land. The rest of them said, no, we can't. They was always on the pessimist side. We just can't do it because we're like grasshoppers in the sight of those fellows over there, the sons of Anak, those giants in the land. We can't do that. But God had already told them they could. God had already given them the green light to go there from Kadesh Barnea. They were at the promised land. They said, no, we'll not go. And so those 10 that did not want to pursue the things of the Lord, they die immediately. And then everybody else, 20 years of age and over, they die in the wilderness. They wander there because of their disbelief of God. Only two go over, and that's Joshua and Caleb. Because they said, we can. And you see, Joshua and Caleb had to travel all those 40 years in the struggling of the wilderness when they could have gone across Kadesh Barnea and have had an enjoyable 40 years. That's why the majority is not always right. That majority was very, very wrong. And yet, the rest of them had to suffer. So they're weeping, they're mourning for Moses. And maybe they said, there's nobody can take his place. There's no one else that can do what Moses did. But you see, God always has a replacement. We should never get to the point that we think we're irreplaceable. Because God can replace us. God can pull somebody else up in places that we would never know. Moses, the Bible says here, had laid his hands on Joshua. And the Scripture says here that he was full of the Spirit. And he was a man, a spirit of wisdom. Moses laid his hands on him and hearkened unto him, and Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet, but he wasn't like Moses. If you turn over just a page or two, I want to read just a little bit in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua being this replacement of Moses. Moses is dead and buried. They have mourned for him those 30 days. In verse number 1 of the book of Joshua says, and after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, there again is his identity, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I shall give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now notice what verse 3 says. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river the River Euphrates. You know where the River Euphrates is? We hear much about it today. Oh, Iran. A guy thinks he's so sharp and he's so good. He says, we're ready to kill Israel. We're ready to wipe them off the face of the earth. Find out who will be there last. Find out who possesses the land when it's all said and done. Because God gave it even to the River Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and to the Great Sea, that's Mediterranean Sea. So you look on a map, that's a pretty good area of land. The Great Sea going towards south of the sun shall be your coast. Notice what God promised to Joshua in verse 5. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Oh, that's a good promise. God was with Moses all the time. And he said, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And then he gives him some instruction here. Be strong and of good courage. In verse 7 he says, be strong. Be thou strong and very courageous. He tells him in verse 8 about the Word of God. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know, that still works today. If we let the Word of God direct us, it would help America tonight if we get back to the book. It'd help our nation if we'd get back and forget this secularism and separating and God from country. God's promised here, he said, if you keep the law and don't let it depart out of your mouth, meditate on it day and night, then you're going to have a prosperous way. Then you'll have good success. We're not having too much success tonight. We ought to try something different. It says in verse 9, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's to Joshua. And Joshua became the great general leading Israel, fighting the battles, leading the armies, because God said, I'm with you. So God had a fairly good replacement. God always raises up someone to do His work. The work of God will not go down. People of God may go down. People of hope may go down, but God's going to prosper. He's going to go forward. And then in verse number 10, 11 and 12, we find here a great last statement concerning Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. But what he's saying here, there's never been anybody like Moses. Notice what he says about him. I read this a while ago. Whom the Lord knew face to face. Now we know folks in passing. We know people and we call them by name. But what God says here says, I knew Moses intimately. I knew Moses. He knew me. And God says, there's never going to be anybody, never will be anybody like Moses whom I knew face to face. To face. Verse 11 and verse 12 gives us some of the great things that he did and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt. Go back and read the 10 plagues. Buddy, God gave Moses power. Moses was the man. Moses said, God, I can't do it. I have to have Aaron. I can't talk. I'm a slow tongue. When it's all said and done, Aaron's sort of on the sideline. Moses is doing all the talking. Because God was with him and God was directing him. And here the Lord says that God knew him face to face and he did all the signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Go back to the books and Genesis, especially Exodus, and find out all the things and the signs and the wonders that God permitted Moses to accomplish in the face of the Egyptians. And he said, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all the mighty hand, and in the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Here we see that God calls the hand of Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea and the doing the many things that he did, it was a terror to the people of Israel. That means it was a fear. They knew who Moses was. They understood what Moses had done. Moses was the one that delivered them out of Egypt. Moses, the one that got them together and were leaving. And when they got to the Red Sea, they began their complaining and said, "Now you've led us out here, they're going to kill us." And God told Moses, said, "You just take your rod, smite the water and see what happens." Great terror. The great hand of God upon Moses. They showed in front of Egypt. Of course, those Egyptians thought they could just go across on dry land like they were. They got a shock. And before it was over, Pharaoh and all his armies were gone. You'd think that Israel would say, "Wow, God's delivered us." Well, just a few days, they go and they find no water. What do? They murmur. They complain. And what water they found was myrrh or bitter. They complain. And Moses had to put up with that complaining bunch of people the whole time. But God said, "He's my servant." God said, "He's the one I know face to face." God said, "He's the one that showed Egypt the terror of the Lord. He's the one that stood before Israel, and they know the terror." So no wonder the Bible says, "There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." I doubt very seriously that God put a tombstone up for Moses. God buried him there in a sepulcher where no one knew where it was. But I dare say if there had been a stone, God maybe would have put upon that stone, "I knew him face to face." I don't believe it would be a greater compliment given to any man that God would be able to say, "I know him intimately, face to face." And nobody will ever be greater than this man Moses. So the study of Moses is just this is his last day. You can find all this stuff in his last day of living. Just go back a few chapters and find all he did while he was living in his days. His first 40 years, his middle 40 years. And God trained him and God got him in the right position and the right place. Egypt in a place where they was ready for a deliverer. And God had Moses out there in the desert, and all of a sudden he sees a burning bush. Caught his attention because the bush burned, but it didn't burn up. That'd catch your attention. It doesn't go away. It's just burning. And so he comes up to it. God said, "Take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground." And from that point on, God dealt with Moses concerning the deliverance of Israel. And here in the last day of his life, Moses faced that last day, I believe, with victory. Even though he had that one blemish, that one spot, and God said, "I'll let you see it, but you'll not be able to go." And that Moses left this world face to face with God. And then God gave him, of course, Joshua. So I pray the Lord help us to be a Moses. To go on and study Joshua, what a great leader he was. And pray that God would help us to fight the battles, do what has to be done, stand the test, and just live for the Lord.